I was standing on somebody's ear, she said.
Tim hadn't seen a body when they came in. He looked back and saw there was just an ear lying on the floor.
That is really disgusting, Lex said.
Never mind, he turned to the monitors.
Where's the rest of him, she said. Never mind that now.
He peered closely at the monitor. There were rows of colored labels on the screen under the heading Jurassic Park System Startup.
You better not fool around with that, Timmy, she said. Don't worry, I won't.
He had seen complicated computers before, like the ones that were installed in the buildings his father worked on. Those computers controlled everything from the elevators and security to the heating and cooling systems. They looked basically like this, a lot of colored labels, but they were usually simpler to understand, and almost always there was a help label if you needed to learn about the system, but he saw no help label here. He looked again to be sure, but then he saw something else, numerals clicking in the upper left corner of the screen. They read 10, 47, 22. Then Tim realized it was the time. There were only 13 minutes left for the boat, but he was more worried about the people in the lodge. There was a static crackle. He turned and saw Lex holding a radio. She was twisting the knobs and dials.
How does it work? She said. I can't make it work. Give me that. It's mine. I found it. Give it to me, Lex. I get to use it first. Lex!
Suddenly the radio crackled. What the hell is going on? Said Muldoon's voice. Surprised, Lex dropped the radio on the floor. Grant ducked back, crouching among the palm trees. Through the mist ahead, he could see the raptors hopping and snarling and butting their heads against the glass of the visitor center. But between snarls, they would fall silent and cock their heads as if listening to something distant. And then they would make little whimpering sounds.
What are they doing?
Gennaro said. Looks like they're trying to get into the cafeteria, Grant said.
What's in the cafeteria?
I left the kids there, Grant said. Can they break through that glass? I don't think so, no. Grant watched, and now he heard the crackle of a distant radio, and the raptors began hopping in a more agitated way. One after another, they began jumping higher and higher, until finally he saw the first of them leap lightly onto the second-floor balcony, and from there move inside the second floor of the visitor center. In the control room on the second floor, Tim snatched up the radio which Lex had dropped. He pressed the button.
Hello? Hello?
Is that you, Tim?
It was Muldoon's voice.
It's me, yes.
Where are you?
In the control room. The power is on.
That's great, Tim,
Muldoon said.
If someone will tell me how to turn the computer on, I'll do it.
There was a silence.
Hello?
Tim said.
Did you hear me?
We have a problem about that, Muldoon said. Nobody, who is here knows how to do that, how to turn the computer on.
Tim said,
What, are you kidding? Nobody knows?
It seemed incredible.
No.
A pause.
I think it's something about the main grid, turning on the main grid. You know anything about computers, Tim?
Tim stared at the screen. Lex nudged him.
Tell him no, Timmy,
she said.
Yes, some. I know something,
Tim said.
Might as well try, Muldoon said. Nobody here knows what to do, and Grant doesn't know about computers.
Okay, Tim said, I'll try.
He clicked off the radio and stared at the screen, studying it.
Timmy,
Lex said,
you don't know what to do.
Yes, I do.
If you know, then do it,
Lex said.
Just a minute.
As a way to get started, he pulled the chair.